Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Seems as though there's a decent amount of good news in the end. In the air, rather, and on the air. Unfortunately, of course, the rising tide in this particular case does not raise all boats. We may still be talking about record gold price, excellent performance in South African stocks, and other parts of the economy that are doing okay. Unfortunately, our mining industry continues to show a great deal of struggle, particularly in the platinum group metal space. Over almost 7,000 jobs were slashed in the mining industry in the second quarter of this year, which indicates the extent of restructurings and the heightened costs of inputs, as well as the logistical challenges, possibly even as we're getting deeper and deeper into mining. I'm joined now by David van Wyk, lead researcher at Benchmarks Foundation, to help us understand a little bit more of how this will impact us going forward. Evening, David. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good evening, and thank you for having us.
Certainly, not great news to be discussing, but won't you help us understand this? This 7,000 jobs in the second quarter adds to other jobs that were already cut at the beginning of the year, and a little earlier, a couple of weeks ago, we were even talking about Seriti Resources finding themselves in trouble. Is this metal or commodities specific, or is this a sort of a tail end to this industry?
Well, I think that it's commodity specific in terms of platinum group metals. It was really platinum itself, because of the rapid changeover globally from combustion engines to electric engines, and the fact that electric engines will be phased out of Europe altogether within the next 10 years. And this will also happen in China and Japan and North America. Platinum never recovered after the 2009 financial crisis. And, people, Anglo-American started pulling out and started selling to Sibanye big time. And Impala is in trouble as well. Implats is also in trouble in the Rustenburg area, and lots of shops are closing down. I think that if we look at Sibanye, it's overcapitalized on platinum mines. It bought a lot of platinum mines that were very marginal.
Oh.
You know, the Lonmin mines were marginal already in 2012.
Yeah.
You know, and to buy those mines was really problematic, to buy them in 2018 and to hope to make them profitable. And so, yeah, you are having a serious problem. You know, 7,000 workers are going home, and the implications of that are enormous, because people are going back to the Eastern Cape. Clinics in the Eastern Cape, public clinics, will be overrun by mine workers who will no longer have access to medical aid. Those clinics won't have the necessary chronic medicines that many of these mine workers require for HIV/AIDS and other diseases and so on that come from the mining towns with them. And, of course, Rustenburg itself, the whole Bojanala district is going to be impacted, because that buying power that mine workers had in that area will be gone. It will no longer be there. The spaza shops, the village shops, the businesses in places like Barikana and so on are all going to go for a steep downturn.
I mean, this has got multiple layers to it. To your point, from the healthcare of those towns where miners will end up. But let's just start with the focus on the ones that they will leave, like in the platinum belt. It's not just sort of village stores, I imagine, that were impacted. I mean, massive lenders, furniture stores, and the like would also try and create a hub in and around those towns, didn't they?
Well, yes, a lot of these miners would have bought furniture, cars, everything, sometimes on credit even, which means they won't be able to pay off the loans and so on that they are undertaking. We know that there are problems with regard to service providers, with regard to pensions and unemployment benefits and so on. Mine workers really struggle to get their money out of the system. And we're already seeing, we just came back from Wonderkop community, where we did a lot of field work 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And we already see the impact within that community in terms of the increase in gender-based violence, the increase in crime, the increase in unemployment in the area and so on as well. It is really a bit of a horror story if you come to think of the impact of this. But also, again, we have to You know, we said in 2007 that the platinum price was too high at the time. It reached $2,000 an ounce by 2009, just before the crash. And we said that people will find alternatives to platinum for catalyzers, which didn't happen. What happened was that, in fact, the whole catalyzer business is out the window because of combustion engines.
Correct.
And we didn't put enough money into research and development for alternative uses of platinum. About 70% of platinum gets used for these catalyzers. The rest is for jewelry, you know, a bit of dentistry and so on. But, you know, the alternative demand for platinum is very low compared to the auto industry demand for it.
I think there's that side of the research. But interestingly, David, I was just going to ask you also about from a policy perspective, because one can't just assume these people are just going to move to the Eastern Cape and just get sick. There should be a plan around absorption into other parts of the economy. I'm not quite sure the extent to which, maybe from an engineering perspective, there are other sectors that could absorb workers who are more accustomed to coming out of the mines.
Well, I think that workers could be absorbed, for example, in the alternative energy sector in the Northern Cape and in manganese mines, which are doing pretty well because of the demand for manganese, given that it's a critical mineral for alternative energy.
Yeah.
You know, the Northern Cape is becoming the new mining hub for South Africa in many ways because of manganese. Oh, there we've got, just like with platinum, we had 80% of the world's platinum. There we've got 80% of the world's manganese. But if we don't actually manage that manganese properly, we're going to get into the same situation as we did with gold and platinum. You know, we see all these mining towns that are dying everywhere. And the thing that really, really concerns me, and something that I keep on saying in interviews at elsewhere, is why are we not re-engineering entire towns for alternative economies? You know, using the infrastructure that was already there, not just the human beings, but also the infrastructure. Because all these platinum mines, if you go to Marikana, for example, there's a huge electricity substation that could feed electricity back into the national grid if you actually create community capacity in that area to generate solar energy and other forms of energy around that particular mine, and it could make that community viable in terms of energy generation. Other parts of Rustenburg and Bojanala as well, you could do something similar. Now, some of the platinum mines have started putting up solar farms for themselves, but now that they are shutting down, they didn't do that in an integrated way with the surrounding community, so that when they shut down, they will go with that alternative or solar energy, and it won't be accessible to the community.
David, I hear you. I definitely would say that this requires more than just what those farmers miners are putting up in terms of solar. But this requires a broad strategic intervention in terms of town, city, and industrial planning. But this is a great start. Thank you so much. David van Wyk, lead researcher at Benchmarks Foundation, highlighting the key issues that are underlying just the retrenchment or the restructuring that you get here announced by platinum companies.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.